Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Cass.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And we're watching Akira, a film from 1988. What's Akira, Angus?
I don't know.
You haven't watched it?
I haven't watched it. So I brought this forward because I've wanted to bring a couple of classic anime or animated movies from the 80s from Japanese culture.
Manga!
I hate that so much. And what I hate even more is it was a thing back in the day at nighttime, according to Justin. There was a manga nighttime thing, right?
No.
They played a whole heap of manga or anime.
It was just there was a company called Manga Entertainment. They would have ads that actually use that pronunciation.
Yeah. Honestly, I hate white people. It makes me hate white people.
Films like Akira and all sorts of manga.
So manga is the written format. Is their version of comic books, right?
I mean, I understand the Australian pronunciation. You know.
Among us.
Manga.
And then a. So, manga.
I think everyone will hate the fact that you used among us to describe how to pronounce that.
Well, I thought of the word among.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I wanted to do a nod to among us.
If I was younger.
Yeah.
I'm the murderer. Baylor is sus.
Okay.
I was going to say, I brought this forward mostly because I'd seen a couple of other shows and movies inspired from this, so I'm planning on bringing Ghost in the Shell to the group, but very much an inspiration from the early days of cyberpunk, and early days of cyberpunk is Akira, especially in terms of Japanese culture. So this really did.
That's the thing, when you mentioned that you wanted to do Ghost in the Shell, I was thinking, we'll be watching Standalone Complex, the anime series.
So I've seen Standalone Complex, the anime series, and the movie. I actually don't know which one came out first.
The movie.
Because I didn't like Standalone Complex. I thought the ending was really anticlimactic and really underwhelming. I like the series, but I just think it fell flat a bit at the end.
Mm-hmm. Akira was a 1988 animated cyberpunk action film. It was really the breach into the West for cyberpunk, at least in an anime sense, I think. Mm-hmm. Set in a dystopian future time of 2019.
Then again, so was Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade Runner. And these were the same year, too.
No, nowhere near. 6 years apart.
6 years apart.
Okay, so partially true, because the manga that the Akira movie is based on was published in the same year as Blade Runner.
Oh, I see.
So
written
text came out same time as...
Of course, it was William Gibson prior to that really did watch the whole thing. But in terms of public knowledge of this stuff, this became a bit of a cult classic with its themes of megacities and strange experiments in laboratories and all sorts of things like that.
So
it's about a biker gang leader that finds out that his young friend has developed psychic abilities.
Yes, you
do. Okay.
From strange sources from some deep dark lab. It sort of tends to go into a bit of an Asian theme. At the time when I originally saw it, and I did see it at an art cinema because it didn't really make mainstream. Yeah. And the art cinema was full of people who went there weekly. They went there every single week. Mm-hmm. They were used to sort of French European and and then along comes Akira and they all go, what the world is this? Yeah. And so a lot of them walked out, but we were in there. It really took a while to catch on, I thought. So, Baylor, have you seen Akira before?
No, I love a lot of anime from that time, honestly. Okay, just the development of it is absolutely amazing from a technical standpoint. How they put so much effort into backgrounds and stuff, and they simplify the characters, but it's still so beautiful and it has its own aesthetic and beauty to it. I love how they mix in music with anime from that time as well to kind of give a bit more length to it and tell more of a story. So I'm really excited. I've wanted to see Akira for a very long time. I'm really excited to actually put time aside today to actually see it, because I think it's stunning. I see so many pictures on, like, on graphic t-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just, it's a vibe. I love the bike. Every time I create a character in Cyberpunk, I'm like, that's the bike I want. I just love it.
It's been made a few times in the real world, but very stable.
I love watching the 3D prints and stuff of them as well, and people just sitting there painting. It's very cathartic. Mm. So love the vibes, love the everything about it. I'm so keen.
Beautiful design work.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is beautiful. And it's like, that's a time where anime was just, it was handcrafted. It feels like it was specifically made with love and care. So long as you don't look at Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that, I'm sure it was made with love and care too. But it feels like it sits within Cowboy Bebop's era where everything was, hand-painted and just, time was taken out for it. So that's my spin. Thank you very much.
And so, Angus, you haven't seen it before?
No. I've seen a little bit of things like the bike is very iconic, and because they engage with a lot of other cyberpunk medium, I'm sure there'd be a lot of nods to Akira that have just kind of gone over my head that I don't recognise.
There are, of course, a million sub-themes in this, you know, sort of post-apocalyptic a bit, and government and military, dark labs, and all those kinds of things that are part of cyberpunk now sort of are mirrored in here. Cass, have you seen this before?
No, it's one of those movies I need to watch. A whole bunch of stuff like Ghost in the Shell, like Akira, all these classic films that I've got in the list I need to actually watch and I haven't yet.
Yeah. To be fair, Bale mentioned Blade Runner earlier, I think. But
I've seen Blade Runner, though.
We've got a list of things that we really want to watch from that time and different creators and stuff like that. And we just, putting aside the time, it feels like it needs to be a moment that you spend specifically for that. I don't know if you feel the same way or if anyone else feels the same way.
Because there's definitely a certain series where I need to be in the right mindset to watch it.
Yes.
Something you put on in the second monitor or watch.
Because
you'll miss so much of the small little nuanced details. I feel like it's like going to a museum or an art gallery. You've got to be in that, I want to appreciate something beautiful. And in like this fast-paced society, we don't really have the time to do that. And burnout is so heavy in our society as well at the moment, that actually sitting down and taking in something that is beautiful like this, it's just difficult.
Okay, Jeanette, have you seen this before?
I haven't seen this one, no. I do remember when you went to see it.
Oh, do you? Yes. Right. Yeah, so you avoided it.
Yeah. Yes. I haven't seen it. Seen Blade Runner, of course.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll get on and have a look and see what this is like.
Yeah.
Hopefully Lisa will be able to join us.
Oh, right.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, maybe.
She's running late.
She's a busy lady.
She is.
Mum on the run, as some people like to call it. Yes. So you have watched Akira?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And what did you think of it? No, but like, give us a little bit of a vibe going in, because we normally have a vibe going in.
It's one of those things where everything that happens feels a bit spontaneous, so you're sort of taken by surprise continually. That's sort of creating this discord that's happening throughout everything. And there are all these interacting forces and things, and then just things happen that are just out there and take the audience by surprise continually.
So when you first watched this, was this around the time that it came out initially, back in the 90s?
Yeah.
So how did that measure up to things that you were watching at the time? Was it completely left field and never seen before, or was it something that...
It was certainly different than other cyberpunk stuff that I'd seen before or read, because I'd read a lot of it at that stage. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. And were you introduced to this or brought to your attention through friends, or did you find this on your own? Did you find a network of friends through this stuff? Because cyberpunk is its own little area, right? So how did you get into that specifically?
Because I'm part of a role-playing crowd, if you like.
Yeah.
People got big into it, into the genre, and there was things like cyberpunk role-playing game later, but it was being brought into sci-fi and other things at the same time. So there was a crowd of us that were big into that kind of stuff and went to see it.
Very deliberately.
Deliberately.
Yeah.
Because we heard, oh my God, it's on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Because the alternative in those days was watching something on VHS, which... Mm-hmm. often, depending on where your source was, might mean a third generation copy of VHS tape.
Okay, cool.
Seeing it on a big screen was quite a big thing.
That would have been really wild, especially like back in the olden days when you were a kid or a young adult, maybe. I don't know. Teen?
No. 20s.
He was 20s. In his, like, 20s.
Late 20s.
I was a kid.
And Justin, for record, if you don't know him, he's a fossil, so he's probably mid-20s. Around 40, 50, 100 years old.
It was after 90 when it came here, though, because I was going out with Justin when he went to see it in the track.
Yeah.
So it was in the early
90s.
That was pretty normal back then for film stars.
Yeah, take that long.
Was it dubbed or was it subtitled, the way you watched it?
Oh, no, it was dubbed.
Okay.
So it took that long, probably took that long to be dubbed. And then,
then was it actually distributed?
Are we watching the subbed or dubbed version?
Probably the dubbed version.
Okay, cool.
No, subbed is better.
The reason why I prefer subs over dubs is because I don't want Americans in my Japanese animation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair. I think voice acting's gotten amazing now, and so
they all sound like they're Americans speaking in
especially in the 80s.
Yeah, very early anime.
I don't know how bad it was then. It was not so bad, but anyway.
Let's sit down and watch it.
Okay, let's go.
Cool.
Okay.
Akira.
Bam.
Okay, we've just watched Akira. So, Jeanette, what did you think?
Let's talk about who snuck in.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa arrived.
Yes,
and Mackenzie. Yeah. Yes, we've just watched Akira. Jeanette, what did you think of Akira?
So I've seen worse. No, it was okay. I didn't love it. It was background. They were doing background.
Okay.
I watched it while I was doing other things.
Anything you didn't particularly like about it or did like about it?
There was nothing I disliked. I was very neutral about it.
Okay. All right.
It just, yes, I said, it was just wallpaper.
Okay. Moving wallpaper in the background.
Yes, moving wallpaper in the background. Okay.
So it didn't capture your attention?
No, it didn't. Did not capture my attention.
Is that because it was mainly action or?
Probably. There was very little character or, I don't know. Yes, it was moving back wallpaper.
Lisa, what did you think?
Oh, and you know what? I was a bit the same, but, you know, I gave it a red hot go because that's what this is all about. Yeah. Yeah. So all I looked up about it, because I'm an IMDb addict, but all I did look up about it was that it was cutting edge. It was something that it was one of the first purveyors of kind of that cyberpunk dystopian anime into the Western mainstream. And for that, I got that. I did get that. But I think it's not my jam and it's not my demographic, but I wouldn't take it away. There was definitely a few things where I was just like, oh yeah, that choices, like I'm not sure what was happening there. I did really appreciate that, like the dystopian landscape was really fascinating to watch and how they worked with that without, there was a lot of inference. They didn't come out and straight, I think a Western movie, live action movie, they would be like, you know, the year is such and such, the robots took over, the economy's collapsed. Like they would do all of that explaining and exposition. Whereas they just went, we're in this situation, it's now Neo-Tokyo.
So what you just said about how Western media would go, oh, the year is this and this is this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that is definitely a thing in like 80s, 90s Western media.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee
Which is when this was made, wasn't it?
Yeah. This was 1988.
Yeah.
But I will admit that more current media, more up-to-date media, it's not like that at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
I will give examples of it later, but that is 100% like, it's so much better now.
It depends.
Did that a little bit? It was like,
yes. Oh, yeah, yes.
1988.
Yeah. Oh, they did that.
World War III ended 31 years ago.
Yeah. Did I miss that?
There was some text at the beginning.
I missed the text at the beginning. I walked in late. No. Maybe I missed the first minute. So, yeah, no, I take all of that back.
But it was, doesn't do it with like that voiceover side of things. Yeah. It just kind of shows you some scenery and sets the space.
And not as explicit explaining. And I think there's a lot of movies these days where they won't be as so explicit, but they will still have someone going, well, why are we in this situation? And then they'll have, you know, it's like, I don't feel like they did a lot of that. There was a lot of kind of background stuff, and I found it interesting the stuff they didn't kind of explain. I didn't feel like I lacked, it was just not necessary. But I will say, going back to the original question, it probably wasn't something I would have chosen to watch. It's not something I would get excited about, but I appreciate it for what it is.
I mean, at the time, it hit Western audiences. They would, it kind of was shock territory for them. They,
A, the content, B, the fact that it's an animated film with that
people
content.
People were definitely walking out of the theatre. I don't understand what's going on at all.
It, to be fair, it was very dense. There were a lot of erroneous plot points that just felt like they were unnecessary and added like unnecessary complexity. It felt really weighted down by a lot of decisions that were like, you could cut this, or you could cut this back, or...
Was that lost in the dubbing? Was that something that...
I don't think so.
I mean, there have been shows which have lost some dubbing because the dubbing's terrible, but I wouldn't have thought that they would have done it here.
I mean, this dubbing is factually terrible.
It's not...
But, no, it's absolutely awful, and the voice acting
was
disgusting.
Voice acting was a bit...
I mean, you got all of these... very classic 1988 voice dubbing.
You got all of these big middle-aged dudes in a room, and they're all talking in high squeaky voices, and I'm like, what is going on here?
I would have preferred a subbed version of it.
That was one of the scenes that I'm like, why do we have this... It was a dead plot point. It never affected the story any because they kind of didn't like the major, decided to cut him off, and he went, no, and then he didn't get cut off. So it was just like,
I did appreciate, I think it gave me a bit of a better understanding of why they were building an Olympic stadium when they were all in complete poverty and financial breakdown, but they were building a stadium.
For the Olympic Games in 2020, coincidence?
Probably. Admittedly, like you, I looked up the movie, but I looked it up more for a sum it down for me.
Yeah, well, like, that's what I did. Instead of drilling into it like I usually did, I was just like, right.
What are we looking at? Yeah. And honestly, it felt like, I've got it, it felt like an autistic person trying to explain their emotions. Because it's very, I need to go through every single emotion, I will cut off at certain points and start a new conversation. And then the final ending is, this is what happens when kids and people that are not ready to receive godlike powers receive godlike powers. That's the movie.
As far as messages go, it's like, oh yeah, sure, I will apply that to my everyday life. I won't give kids and mature people godlike powers.
There we go. Cool. Learn that lesson.
So,
moral
pursuit.
So, Cassandra, what did you feel like?
Yeah, because I've seen some similar sort of sci-fi and sci-fi inspired anime series. So this sort of less explaining, more showing and showing the emotions and showing the destruction rather than having a voiceover go, it is the year 2020 and blah, blah, blah. I'm used to that sort of a thing because I know that's a style of communication that Japanese cyberpunk does compared to Anglophone cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just realizing, oh, yeah, how much cyberpunk in North America, especially North America, focuses on, oh, the Japanese companies control everything. Whereas that wasn't as much a plot point here. It was just the government controls stuff and it's dystopic. But it wasn't as though a capitalist hellscape where there's like five companies that control everything. That's a very much an American thing that I realised they don't do as much in Japan. It's definitely a lot of, you know, gang culture stuff, which was definitely the vibes in, especially the 70s, with that kind of media of, when society breaks down, the kids are just going to form gangs and do this stuff.
This was more gangs versus government, wasn't it?
I mean, there were a few inter-gang fighting, but it wasn't as big as this.
Not really a mention of any corporations at all.
You're just realizing, because when I think cyberpunk, I immediately think of, you know, cyberpunk, like the current game series and stuff like that, which is a very different vibe compared to this.
And I've heard Angus describe cyberpunk, and it's like fast life, high fashion, I think it is.
Yeah.
And so you put more emphasis on to how you look and your style and wardrobe and things like that. And so it didn't feel very cyberpunk to me. It didn't feel like...
Did I use that word incorrectly? Is that...
No, you didn't use it incorrectly at all. Yeah. It felt less like I'm going to live a short life and do something meaningful and be stylish while I do it. And, like, the most stylish thing was that bloody bike. That was it.
I think the Japanese cyberpunk and North American cyberpunk were both near future hellscapes because corporations, whatever.
Yeah.
And they've probably been lumped into the same box because they're describing similar things, even though the stakes are quite opposite.
I'd say that it's got, like, that slight merge. You know how you have, like, the two circles?
Oh, yeah.
The Venn diagram.
And then you've got that little sliver. I feel like the sliver is cyberpunk and it kind of merges with the isn't exactly... I don't know. That's just my personal
opinion. Yeah, I think it's also, like, I've not seen some of the... I think I've seen Blade Runner, but not seen any of the other major cyberpunk works from Western culture.
Don't worry, I haven't either.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a list as long as anything.
Yeah, I've like seen Blade Runner yet.
I feel like American cyberpunk is probably more driven by William Gibson and some of those writers that really established that territory. Yeah. Mm. And I think William Gibson was influenced by Japanese... cyberpunk. And I think it's a bit circular.
Especially, I'm not sure what gives them specifically, but definitely the idea of the cyberspace future, which didn't really turn up in Akira at all.
No.
As though Western cyberpunk is focusing on this new digital future of the internet, and I don't even think any characters used to
cyberpunk is just a dystopian future where you've got the normal citizens, other low lives, suffering whatever power it is above them, but they're drenched in tech.
So, that's what I was thinking.
But it's all secondhand tech.
I always figured it was an amalgamation of the futuristic technology with the anarchy and that kind of...
I thought it was someone small trying to make it big.
Trying
to leave their footprint. Because most of the stuff that I've been indoctrinated into has been like, I want to leave a footprint.
Yeah,
because
Nihilistic's probably a better way of explaining it.
Yeah. I said stylistic, which
stylistic.
Both words.
Stylistic,
nihilistic. Yes, this only encompasses certain aspects of cyberpunk that are more Japanese. But then the whole Japanese situation changes entirely, where you've got corporations and cyberspace and all those things, robots, AI. Yeah.
Maybe it's just between the American experience versus the Japanese experience. Yes. Also, I'm aware that at the time, the United States was afraid of Japan in roughly the same way that they're unafraid of China today, where they were upset that there was this country which is economically as powerful as them, as politically as powerful as them, and they saw this as an existential threat. And so that's why there's a lot of fetishization of Japanese culture there.
America was scared of pretty much anything that was to bring anything forward saying that they were stomping on the little man. Right, anything that was like,
but I think it's also
left wing and progressive.
But I think it's also the fact that for the first time you had non-American companies having a major footprint in the US, and American companies were like afraid of losing their market share, so they're trying to be anti-Japanese as a result.
Yeah,
Mitsubishi all these companies. Yeah. One of the aspects missing was also cyberware, as in, but they did have the body horror. The kind of similar body horror that was sort of psychically induced body modification and things like that. So they had some of those aspects. So Angus, you watched it recently too?
Yes. And I was one that brought this to the group, but I had not seen it before. So this was my...
Oh, so you brought it, but you hadn't seen it. Yeah. Oh.
I knew it was a cult classic.
I knew
it was iconic and...
Yeah.
I just never actually got around to seeing it.
So this is your first hit. What did you think of it?
I didn't love it. it was okay, but I found the story was really dense and unnecessarily weighted down. The characters were okay, but I wasn't really sure as to what they were trying to do with the characters. There was no character development on them.
There wasn't.
Like, the visuals of the movie were great. They were a lot of fun. But there were certain things that I'm like, that's a bit of an odd decision to make. Visually, it's very pretty, but in terms of, yeah, I don't think modern audiences are really going to be that captured by it. That's the thing.
How much of it is just because we've aged past that sort of kind of dystopian stuff we've seen in the past 30, 40 years have gone ahead further than that?
Well, in terms of media production, I definitely think the anime style exists, but anime's kind of gone, I don't want to say gone back a little bit. It's gotten a lot simpler. It's no longer done quite as artistically. It's a means of mass production of media. Lot more.
Unless you go Studio Ghibli.
Unless you go Studio Ghibli. So
yeah, yeah. And things like that.
The artistic style was, it's very nice to see, and old anime visually still very much holds up. It's just, yeah, things like the dubbing, the voice acting, the plot. I'd probably need to look it up. I don't know entirely what was happening at the end there.
Let me tell you what was happening at the end there. This is why everybody is so confused about the ending, is because it's about this individual that gains psychic powers and is slowly, effectively achieving enlightenment.
Yeah.
And that enlightenment makes him at one with the universe, and he takes all these entities with him as he becomes one with the universe. Mm. And so now they're all these celestial beings that are, and you know, it's, so it's totally outside Western culture. It's an Eastern thing.
It's the koala.
Yeah.
It's the koala. Why is there a koala?
So it's very much,
he's smiling.
So it's very Buddhist. It's actually very Buddhist based.
So that I understood. It was the role of Akira in that process. Because it felt more like he was just another, the main character, or the main, I guess, villain, I guess, was just another part of the key to help Akira return.
Yeah, except that Akira is no longer a entity, he's just a force of nature now.
Yes, yeah.
That's it.
But
yes,
he seemed to be disconnected from everything and the main character.
Yes, so you don't actually see any sign of him at all.
No. The entire time until he returns, and it felt like the main character or the main villain kind of got to a point where his energy became too much for him to hold, and he hit that.
Yeah, became a nuclear explosion effectively.
Yeah, basically. But Akira, that was able to bring Akira forward from the other side, and then they're all able to go on to evolve together. That's what it felt like,
So become part of Akira, effectively.
It was the force.
I can't think of a pun with like Akira be the group name. I can't think of anything.
It was how the Shakira? Evolution of the
I kept watching it going, Akira, oh, Monty.
Just really odd. It's really odd.
And not well communicated for establishment.
Yeah. It's just easier for Eastern audiences to digest because
that element of it.
And it's interesting, like you're saying, like, I don't know whether it holds up, and I wonder whether it is. And we're talking about it last night with things like, you know, Monty Python and Die Hard and Beverly Hills Cop, all this type of stuff that we watch it and go, oh yeah, but I've seen that before. It's already been done. Yeah. And it's like these guys were like early. It's almost like going back and watching it, going, oh yeah, but I've seen all that. That's already been done. You know, and it was always that thing with all of these kind of classics, you know, they're classics because these guys did it first. And I did kind of watch that, and you know, the bit at the end with the, what do you call it, body horror, and I'm like, isn't this The Substance and things like that, you know, all of this stuff where they talk about this, the body horror and the, you know, the video nasty type feel to it, which is very that era, but these guys pioneered it. I'm guessing. Did they?
Ironically, I have written so many notes, and the monkeys is one of the key words.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Okay, so
this is your thoughts on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is. I'm going to go from top to bottom.
Yes.
Kind of give a review that I was vibing with. Art style, absolutely beautiful. Definitely paved the way for things like Cowboy Bebop and the director's sort of art style and everything like that going forward. And that's also definitely given a birth to and kind of given even Disney like a foothold, because they've definitely, I'm so sorry, they've definitely done it in Mall. like Star Wars Mall, where they've done these beautiful painted backgrounds.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen a bit, I think. Yeah, they've done these beautiful painted backgrounds. They've kind of got these lovely, simplified characters doing things, which is absolutely fantastic, right? So 100% great paveway. And then we've got
something on that subject that this really did well that I don't think was a big thing, especially in animation at that time. The environments were dirty.
Yes.
Like, there was a lot of rubbish, there was a lot of random crap on the screen all the time.
It
was gritty.
It was very, and I don't think that was a thing in animation.
They did some really cool things as well with the animation and stuff as well. Like, adding the neon streaks from the bikes at the very start, they really lent into this futurism side of things. And while they can't do the beautiful bright neon kind of light, because TVs probably didn't have that kind of depth in coloration back then. In fact, they didn't have the
color. It was made for movie.
But even still, like, you didn't have that spectrum of color. Color is always getting added to and changing. And people are constantly trademarking certain colors.
The neon style, it reminded me, last week we watched a movie that I never thought I would introduce my daughter to that used a lot of neon special effects.
Mm.
Remember the movie we watched last week? You can't even remember it.
Purple Day?
Not that one. Xanadu.
Oh!
And then just every time there was any kind of, you know, Greek goddess that had this very early 80s.
Oh, my God.
You
know, when are we doing Xanadu?
Oh, man. Oh. I couldn't say it while we were watching it together.
Unfortunately,
but
then you've got to do Saturday Night Fever.
It almost felt like you could see the cocaine just off camera. It was just like everyone was on stuff. It was, anyway, but that neon kind of neon vibe, which
definitely paved the way going forward for more cyberpunk landscapes, or even sci-fi, actually. When someone touches down in a city off-world, one of the first things you see are great big cut-out areas, like weird circular or rounded square windows with shutters on the front of it, and then a neon light. That it's almost iconic.
That's Blade Runner too.
Blade Runner. They do so much of that in the Star Wars universe. They did that recently in the Star Trek
Academy. Fifth Element's got a lot of that.
Fifth Element. And so I feel like that's definitely kind of going, here we are, this is the future, is this. And so that totally feels good. The voice acting felt bad.
Oh, yeah.
Just going to put that out there. It is your classic, as Justin would say, manga.
It's manga entertainment.
I felt like there was like four voice actors and they had to just try and squeeze as many different type of voices to all characters, and it fell flat.
And I'm just remembering, do you remember the film Kung Pao Into the Fist?
No, but I've been trying to find that.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
That would be an interesting one to do for an episode.
Yeah.
Back to your
characters design also feels really good. In general, a lot of the characters look different. The female characters still just look like people. There was no like, this is a super sexy person, this is a man. It was just like, these are a bunch of people existing in the same world. And on top of that, you don't have the gigantic anime eyes as well.
Yeah.
It's a very...
Granted?
No, it's not even that. It's actually a style of art. An art style during the... feel like it's the Edo period that got really, really big. And
then it comes with your tongue and it's just...
Yeah, I can't think of the word. Maybe you'll come back to it.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like that's very classic, touching back to more traditional pieces. But also the calm music that juxtaposes the fast-paced life and scenes. Really good. One of my favourite things in Avatar Korra was the calm music and the juxtaposition between the fast-paced fighting and things like that. It definitely gave that kind of vibe. And I've seen shows that are like calm, fast, like in your face, fast. And then you get the complete flip in like Avatar The Last Airbender, where it's fast music and slow scenes, even. Actually, I can't even remember if that's true.
To be fair.
But yeah.
How modern media uses fast music is fast music helps you think things are happening on the screen slightly faster.
Yeah.
Fast noise does that. Cyberpunk especially does have a lot of those slow musical notes and slow musical beats. It's very common in the genre.
But this, like, during an action scene, it was, the beat did not match the action scene. Bikes clearly speeding at 90 to 100 kilometers per hour down a regular street, and you've got these kind of drums.
That doesn't
match.
Yeah.
Someone, like, zoom. It doesn't, and I love that. I really appreciate...
But there was something ominous.
It also reminds me of the intro to the movie Ghost in the Shell, how they have the quiet, just the whole ominous...
Ghost in the Shell was another... I was going to bring two cyberpunk specials this year. One was going to be this, the other Ghost in the Shell, so...
Yeah.
I think Ghost in the Shell's better... than this. This was definitely the first one. This was definitely where it all started. Yeah.
But overall, it feels very now. The story felt more now as opposed to cyberpunk. And that's of why I wouldn't put this in the cyberpunk genre only. Because we're constantly rioting in the streets. If something comes up being the next big savior, I guarantee people are going to start worshipping it and then getting scared of it.
People are already worshipping like AI.
Yeah, it didn't feel much different. It felt more like just a commentary on what is yet to happen, considering when it came out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sitting listening to Patrick talk to that robot voice on Thursday night, that was like, oh yeah, we're there. This is cyberpunk. Yeah. It just felt so cyberpunk.
But overall, I started off saying that this felt... I had the note, the monkeys. And the reason I had the note, the monkeys, was I remember saying that the monkeys kind of paved way, or felt like the monkeys paved way for everything going forward with comedy. And I would say that's the case here.
The monkeys.
The monkeys. Because the monkeys came out before the goodies, which means that the monkeys were technically paving the way. They weren't great.
They were terrible.
But they definitely did that skit comedy sort of stuff that 100% fell in line with the goodies. It was just the American goodies.
Yes, that's all it was.
And so that's why I feel like... And I'm not saying that Akira is as bad as the monkeys or anything like that. I'm not saying the monkeys are good. They're awful. What I am saying, though, is that this feels like it paved the way for so much.
Yeah, this feels more like a historical existence now. Because it founded everything, it started the path on everything, but I like the genre. I probably wouldn't watch this again.
Okay.
From a historical standpoint, it's interesting to see everything, but
well, you know, for those who do want to watch it again, it apparently been converted to 4K. So there's a 4K version of it out now. And that was shown this month in cinemas through some company. So it's been around recently.
If you're going to sit down and watch it, make it an experience.
Yeah.
So, like,
because it is an experience.
Yeah.
It is a big screen experience.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch it, watch it at, like, if there's an orchestra playing or something like that, and doing the music for it or whatever. I think that would be
fantastic.
Hopefully with a better dub.
Yeah.
As you get some voice actors.
The story, though, overall, seen it done better. Even in earlier media as well.
What I did like is how the characters were animated.
19th of July. Coming to Adelaide.
There you go.
Palos Nova at Prospect. They described it as an impressive achievement and a blend of 2001 A Space Odyssey, The Warriors, Blade Runner and Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, you can see all of those.
You mentioned the drum sequence earlier with the Road Warriors. That was like almost tribal music referencing.
Yes.
That's right. These individuals are devoid of
it. But also the clowns, the warriors, you know. It's very definitely.
I mean, the fight scene on the bikes made me think of how Angus always refers to the fight scene in Mad Max where they had Cirque du Soleil actors. I don't know why.
I haven't seen it, but
just the image of the way Angus describes it made me think, the acrobats jumping onto the front of motorbikes, beating people up.
I love there was a scene in it where it was like there was two of them on the motorbike and then one of them's running to catch up. I'm like, how can he physically run that fast?
He hops off the motorbike and he's running.
He's like, help me, help me. And they're like, help me, help me. And I'm going, this can't. Like, you you can't just jump on the back of it. And I'm like, yeah, but it is an anime. And so then they grab him and then they all fall off the motorbike and crash. And I'm like, thank you. So vindicated.
I thought the funny thing was the little people were talking through other people going, now that Akira has awakened, other people will be able to do this. And I'm like, ah, obviously, there is the anime plot hole, right? Mm. Now everyone will do this. So at the moment where it matters most, all the kids are going to rise up somehow, become energy beans and stop the bad stuff. It didn't happen, and I'm very angry and very triggered.
Did it subvert the expectation?
There's subverting expectation, and that's just making me mad.
Okay, so in modern audiences, we've discussed that a bit. You're not sure?
I've given my take on it.
You've given your take on it?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
I think they'll be just as confused by the ending as the original audience were.
But that's how it works. Like, people are still confused about the ending of the Neon Genesis Evangelion TV series.
Yes, that's right. So
I feel like
it's still outside modern audiences.
I feel like if you're a student and you want to do a thesis and a breakdown of something, this is a great movie to do.
Yeah.
Or if you're a music student that wants to get into cinematography or even like an anime, an animator, sorry, not an anime. Even if you're just a 2D character sitting at home. Yeah, I feel like that's the sort of audience this would hit.
But if you're an anime fan and you're interested in the history
if you're interested in the history
of where it all branched out from, this is one of those,
But if you're the anime fan that likes One Piece, don't bother.
And I watch this with that point of view. I watch this as that person who did media production at uni and just love to watch all these kind of avant-garde movies and break it apart and try and understand it and things like that. And we'll do that sometimes. It's like, we'll want to watch movies as a family and there's all these movies and I go, God, that's an absolute classic. That would be such a good one to watch. But not on a Saturday night with my kid and my husband. So,
this one felt very avant-garde.
And what did it taste like, Angus? This is the question. Oh, God. What food is this movie?
I don't know.
Body horror slime that you know what
I mean? Oh, no, man. No.
Admittedly, I want to say bananas. I don't know why.
I like bananas.
Yeah. What do you like this too? It's perfect.
Now I'm going to think of body horror whenever I eat a banana.
Bananas in jelly.
Something about the body horror elements, I don't know, just made me think of bananas. I don't know if it was the fleshy aspect of it and the... Like, I don't know.
Is it that because that's what happens to a banana at the bottom of your backpack?
I'm a little bit beyond having bananas in my school bag, but yeah, I don't know. It just the squishy nature of all the characters at the end there made me think of bananas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone eat in the whole movie.
Sorry?
No one ate in the whole movie.
Which is surprising because food is...
I know, right?
Except for the guys who ate dirt when they fell off their bikes.
Yeah. The food for today is dirt.
There was a bar, but there wasn't really much in the way of drinking. I think the guy drank a glass of water and... And that's odd because usually in anime, food is such a big part of... Even in Blade Runner, and that's inspired a lot by Japanese productions, he's sitting there at a noodle bar eating noodles. And in anime, food is kind of one of those things that constantly pops up because it gives characters time to sit down and just kind of be still.
In Blade Runner, however, what they were doing was they were saying, here's a Western individual living in an Eastern environment, and so it's
fish out of water.
It's fish out of water kind of stuff, and so that's part of that, I think.
The thing is, that movie did also have the same opening credit sprawl where it's like, this is the situation, and so we know that that's in Los Angeles. So it's kind of showing a merging of cultures in Blade Runner, and less so him being a fish out of water, more so just everything merging together. Because he's not like, I don't know how to order this food. He just does it and then leaves the guy to figure out what he's ordering.
This is the universe as it is.
This is the universe as it is. And it was,
Is the lack of food, even in the bar, even in environments where there should be food, was that a subtle way of showing scarcity?
And this is a very mechanical world. There's nothing organic. Yes. You see nothing organic, and food is too organic for this world. Yes. It's almost like they're eating metal. They're petrol fumes.
That's a good metal. Good analogy. I like that. Yeah.
Even then, when he like lost his arm, and then it just it was all like a cyborg arm, and it's just like replacing the organic with the
It's not cyberware, it's psychic, organic metal. It's, so it's...
No, I agree with you. It's really inorganic. Food doesn't really come to mind.
No, it doesn't.
Even the food that does come to mind is something uncomfortable...
From a tube or, you know, like, that looks not like food. Like, you can get, like, that's why I'm thinking jelly, because to me, jelly's not food.
Soylent bread.
I was thinking of one of those meals in the 50s where, like, mass production was just coming in, and so you'd have stupid things, weird, I don't know, meat and jelly, or things that prepares in...
That's basically cat food nowadays.
But just like, okay, we've got these new adventures. Let's just make the most horrific foodstuffs ever. The kind that Jake Gyllenhaal would basically just gawk at in the 2020s. You know, that kind of...
'50s food was terrible. Shocking.
Okay, so that was Akira. We'll see you next month.
Bye. Bye.